The weather is brought to you by myfwc.com. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Quite nice with mostly sunny skies. This afternoon's high 71 to 75. Clear and a bit chilly tonight. The low 47 to 51. Beautiful with mainly sunny skies. Saturday's high 77 to 79. From the Florida Weather Center, I'm Michael Stack.
Weather has been brought to you by Total Air Solutions, voted best AC contractor 3 years in a row. Call 877-TOTAL-AIR or go to TotalAir.com.
WCCA News Radio 1580.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the slippery slope of lipids and other medical issues, brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center in Port Charlotte, Florida. For the next hour, the phone lines will be open for you to join the conversation. This is a live medical talk show. If you have questions or comments along the way, we would like to hear from you. Here are the phone numbers, 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. And now here's your host of the show, Dr. Elizabeth Triana. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Ooh, chilly, chilly today.
I think the last of it. I just don't know why, but I got a feeling this is the end of the cold stuff.
Yes. Oh, but it feels so good. And I want to welcome Jennifer's with me today.
Good morning.
And of course, Todd.
Hello.
And everyone, we are going to start off. I want to welcome everyone again to the Slippery Slope of Lipids and brought to you by the Triana Prevention Center. And we were talking last week, Jennifer, what is the March month again?
March is colorectal cancer awareness. So what does that mean to the listeners? That means if you are a man or a woman, you need to be getting checked. You need to be getting your colonoscopy starting at the age of 50 and then after that, as directed by your physician.
Okay.
It's going to affect 140 people in a year are going to get diagnosed. 50,000 cases, unfortunately, will die from this type of cancer.
You mean 140,000 people?
People will be diagnosed with colon cancer.
Want to make sure I have my numbers straight.
Oh, yes.
Sorry. And then 50,000 will die, unfortunately, yes, from it. Got it.
It is the second leading cancer-causing death. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., there's about 60% of these deaths that can be avoided if you were to get screened early.
Okay.
So we can do something about it if you do take the steps to get a colonoscopy. Talk to your doctor. You might not always need a colonoscopy at first. There are some other screening tests that we can start with as outpatient and just at your primary care physician's office, and then they will refer you to either the gastroenterologist or a general surgeon.
I think this is very, very important. I know they're putting a lot of advertisement because March is colon cancer month. I want everyone to really pay attention to this. If you can detect this disease, you can cure it way before ahead of time, just like we're trying to do with vascular disease. We're detecting it early. We're detecting problems with patients who have pre-diabetes to help prevent them from becoming diabetic. So I think that's really good that we mentioned that again. I also would, we had a caller last week, and I wanted to be very clear about the cholesterol. We had talked about, he wanted to know what was the best way to lower his LDL cholesterol. The best way to lower the LDL cholesterol in terms of diet is by eating healthy. We know that trans fats, which are the fats that are man-made to preserve cookies, cakes, crackers, Twinkies, those kind of foods.
The good stuff. Good tasting stuff.
Anyways, all that has trans fat. Mm-hmm. Trans fat will raise your lousy cholesterol, the LDL, and it will lower your good or the healthy HDL. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that people understand that trans fat, also there are some trans fat in nature, but the worst ones are the ones that are so heavily put into foods to preserve them. Saturated fats. What's a saturated fat? That is a fat that is animal-based. We know, you know, when you get that beautiful steak and it has all that white marbling, that's saturated fat. Butter is a saturated fat. That will raise the bad, lousy LDL, and it could also have an effect on the HDL, lowering it. That is not good. We have to limit that. We know that omega-3 fish oils will help raise, which is a good fat. We have the MUFAs and the PUFAs, the monounsaturated fatty acids, and the polyunsaturated fatty acids. Well, they will lower your LDL and help raise your HDL. So I want to make it clear that always, always diet, exercise is the foundation for any healthy lifestyle. There is no medicine on this earth that's going to solve all the problems. There is no magic wands. You know, right?
And maybe you can explain to the listeners that even if you were to go to the doctor and be put on a statin, well, that's not going to necessarily lower the LDL and raise the HDL in a big enough way that you need optimum vascular health.
Right. You may not, we cannot give you a medicine that's going to reach your goal if you don't put forth in the diet and the exercise. It's so important. It's so important.
The take-home note, don't say, I'm taking this pill, therefore I can eat this bacon.
Gotcha.
Right. And I also, people will tell me, well, I don't want to take medicines. I don't want to take this pill. It might hurt my liver. We discuss about statins. You know, at the Triana Prevention Center, we individualize the treatment to the patient. But I usually tell patients there is no pill that is going to hurt you as much as the cigarettes that you are smoking.
That's a very good point.
So I want people to understand we personalize the treatment, but also lifestyle is extremely important. And if anybody has a question about this, please feel free to call us at 206-1580. We have the lines open. We're here to answer your questions or discuss anything medical that you might have. By the way, Jennifer, there was the big thing. We try to talk about also what's trending, what's in the news. And one of the things was the ban on big sugary drinks that was in the newspaper.
Correct.
The mayor of New York City wants to ban sugary drinks that are greater than 16 ounces. Now, I think in some places people can get 44 ounces.
Even more.
More?
Yeah.
Drinks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the point of the matter is we know that in a can of Coke or a sugar drink, soda, there's 10 teaspoons of sugar. Remember we talked about that?
That's why it tastes so good.
Personally, I don't like it, but anyways, 10 teaspoons of sugar. Now, I don't know anybody who drinks coffee and puts 10 teaspoons of sugar in a cup of coffee.
No.
Although my husband does say I don't like coffee, I like the cream and sugar that go into it. But that would take up your whole cup, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we have to think about this. So I want to know if anybody has any reactions about this ban on sugary drinks. Our goal here is to educate and inform people and know what is it they're eating, what is it they're drinking, and how it could affect their health, whether it be foods or medications. Right. Different medical conditions.
So that you can make an educated choice, not have to be told what you're going to get when you go to a restaurant.
Right.
Right.
Which I believe is the counter argument to the whole Bloomberg ban, which now the court has taken and overturned, but they're still arguing about. which is personal choice versus government regulation, should be personal choice, in my humble opinion.
In my opinion also, I think the government already is too intrusive. I think we need to make good choices. Because what's to keep somebody from not saying, well, I can only get one drink. Let me buy five of the smaller drinks and equal that. You know, I feel that people should learn and make choices. Okay, so once in a while, people are going to splurge and they're going to have maybe a cup of ice cream or whatever. But to know that you're drinking a sugary drink every day and what it's going to do, well, that sugary drink is going to, what happens? If you don't use up that sugar, it's going to turn into triglycerides. That's fat. Triglycerides is a fat. It's in your blood. If people were to look at their blood when it's spinned down, the blood separates into the serum and the blood cells. And anybody who has a triglyceride greater than 400, what does it look like, Jennifer? We have
it looks milky. It's not almost transparent where you can see through it, but you can actually see the fat essentially in your blood.
Maybe that's something that we should be showing people then.
We do. We have little vials that are representative. They're not real blood. But it shows as the number of fat triglycerides goes up in your blood, it looks like milk in your serum. It's cloudy. You can see the fat.
Because, again, that is a silent disease. So if you can't see it or you can't feel it, well, then I'm not affected by it.
Okay. That's a very good point.
So if you're going to drink a big sugary drink and it turns into fat, and where do those triglycerides? Well, you know, some of them are going to be deposited in your fat cells. And the biggest problem people are always worried about, the belly fat. Mm-hmm. That's what's one of the reasons. That's one of the problems. So if I personally feel that if we inform and let people make wise choices, we don't need to have Big Daddy, the government, tell us what we need to do. We can make our own choices about what we like to eat and what we don't.
And there are those who would argue it's a slippery slope, too. And I will give you a great example that I've been paying a lot of attention to, and you'll see why in just a second. Mayor Bloomberg, after the big drink or whatever they call it ban, has also now begun proposing that these earbuds be eliminated in New York City as well, which is a tool of my trade, and I wear them every day. For safety concerns, people aren't able to hear things going on around them, so there are more pedestrian accidents and bicycle accidents and so forth. Ban them. That's the slippery slope. If we start with sodas, where does it stop?
Well, that's the whole thing. And, you know, everyone needs to realize that, you know, we live in America. We are free. But if we don't watch what's happening, more and more, you know, we're going to be told what needs to be done. And I feel that if people are informed and educated, they can make wise choices for their health. And if they know the consequences, you know, people understand if you show them, how many times we show what the triglycerides when they go up. You eat too much, your body turns it into fat. That deposits in your body. You eat too much sugar also. That turns into triglycerides. All that affects your health. Mm-hmm. And what is our biggest motto here? More good years?
For you and for your loved ones.
For your loved ones. You want them to be around. So everyone out there, let's try to look at what we're eating. I myself, I'm working hard on it too. I've now introduced more salmon into my diet. I'm trying to eat more salmon and fish and more greens. I love spinach. I love kale. It's delicious.
Isn't salmon a really good source of the omega-3?
It is. It's a good source of the omega-3s.
Okay.
Which is good to mention here that we have to take omega-3 fish oil because we are not getting it in our routine diet.
Ah, yes.
So. Enough. So, in terms of the, also in the judge that overturned it said that the soft drinks that were being, some places had to worry about the soft drinks, certain restaurants, but yet you could buy them if they had, you could buy big drinks like milkshakes, which we know that has a lot of sugar too. So let's see what we're eating. Let's learn about it. I think that's very, very important.
And don't forget that your beverage has a food label too. You might have to look a little harder to find the ingredients.
Right.
But how many patients of ours, when we're talking about their daily calorie and helping them understand why they're not losing weight, fail to mention that they're drinking six Mountain Dews because they work a 12-hour night shift?
Right.
Good point.
Yes.
As somebody who drinks an awful lot of coffee in order to get my day started extremely early and energetically, I see what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of people, you know, they don't drink coffee. They drink their caffeine from Pepsis or Cokes or Mountain Dew. And that's a very good point. I also want to bring up today that next week we have a guest. She is was diagnosed, unfortunately, with breast cancer. And she's going to tell her story of what happened with her life. And she's a local lady and very, very courageous, going to talk. I want everyone to please tune in. This is very important to hear her story. She's young. A lot of people think, oh, my goodness, I'm not going to have to worry about till I get older about breast cancer. She's a mother. And I'm just really, really impressed and admire someone to talk about their own experience.
This will be a week from today?
Yes.
Okay.
She is definitely inspirational and motivational. So if anyone is thinking of getting a mammogram and hasn't found the time to do it or is feeling down and out because of a recent diagnosis, I think just by listening to her, you might be inspired or have a little bit of hope.
Yes, she doesn't give up, and she had a rocky course. So I think that's really, really important to listen and to hear. You know, we've had other guests here who spoke about their medical issues, and I think that's really important that we can connect and see, yes, we are all humans. I know I'm human. I'm battling it. I have a family history of diabetes. That's one of my passions is because my parents have vascular disease. My father, who in May will be 2 years that he passed away, he battled diabetes and heart disease. So if I could just make a difference just in one person, it would just make me feel so much better. And I'm trying to make a difference in myself, too. So if anybody out there has any stories that they want to tell us, please feel free. So, Jennifer, what do we not to, you know, we're not going to really change the subject, but let's have a little fun.
Yes. Today we wanted to mix it up a little bit for all of the listeners, have a little bit of fun and games. We are going to open the phone lines to the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if any listener wants to get involved, definitely call. We'll tell you how to play, help you through it.
Okay.
We are going to play a game called Food, Fats, and Fun. It's not of who's going to win and get more points. It's more an idea to prompt conversation, but to be healthy at the same time.
Okay.
So
I knew something was up when I walked in the studio and you've got the cards laid out.
Something.
And there are points laid out. I'm like, there's something new here today. I'm all for game playing, especially on a Friday.
And we also did this with our office, with our ladies at the office.
Yeah, we had a trial run. Mm-hmm.
We had a trial run. It was fun. And everyone got involved. And so I'll repeat the number again, 206-1580, or if you're, what is it, out of the calling area?
If you're outside that area code or that calling area, then it would be 888-441-1580. And we open the phone lines up for you to play this game or ask questions at any particular point. You know, we can stop the game right in the middle of it if you've got an important question or comment that you need to make, too.
Right, or it prompts something for you to want to call and ask a question.
Sure.
Because by all means, that's what the point of this is.
Right.
Is to have more good years. And by achieving that, we have to do patient education.
How does the game work? Because I understand that I'm supposed to participate.
You are.
So you might want to just give me a little bit of an idea.
So there's three categories: foods, fats, and fun.
And fun, okay.
Yep. We'll take turns. If you want fats for 100, then we'll ask the question, and then that will prompt discussion for the answer.
All right, hang on 1 second, because we do have a caller now who might bring something interesting to the table. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I heard the doctor mention that she's been bothered with diabetes, and so was her family or her parents.
Yes, my parents, my family history, yes. I don't have diabetes, but my family history does.
Okay, well, I'm just the opposite. My family history, I can't find anybody with diabetes, but I've come down with type 2 diabetes about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And I manage it. I check it. I know it's what I eat, and I watch my carbs. I was put on a blood thinner called Xarelto.
Yes.
About a couple of months ago, because I had palpitations and heart problems.
Yes.
I've noticed since I'm on the Xarelto that my readings, even when I wake up in the morning and take it on an, you know, fasting all night from dinner time, my readings are 10 to 20% higher.
Well, you have to remember that your liver produces blood sugar. That's what keeps us alive at night.
Right.
Okay. And so people will say, well, you know, I don't really eat anything before I go to bed that should raise my blood sugar. But your liver does. Remember, the problem with diabetes is you have a problem with insulin. Insulin is the key that unlocks the door to the cells. It opens the door so the blood sugar will go into the cells.
Right. No, I understand that. Matter of fact, in the summertime, I ride a bike every day, 3.5 miles. If I come home and do a little work, I get the opposite problem. I go low glycemic. I got to take orange juice. I go down around 60.
Well, exercise does use up the use up that glucose.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But I'm wondering, if could there be any correlation between this new blood thinner called Xarelto and the fact that I'm experiencing much higher all the time, after dinner, in the morning? I didn't eat since the night before. I don't get it. Now, I'm going to have a regular doctor's appointment coming up soon. I'll take it up with him, too. But
Right. Well,
I heard you say about diabetes. I thought, well, I'll call.
Right. And I appreciate your call. Xarelto is a pretty new medication. I don't know what other medicines you're on, but it may be interacting with your other medicines that you're taking for diabetes. And also, we know that as we get older, what happens is that pancreas is producing insulin. And pretty soon, that pancreas is going to run out of gas.
In other words,
it will run out of gas because it's pumping out the insulin. The insulin isn't working well. So all these things you need to bring up with your doctor. So I appreciate your call, and thank you for listening to the program.
All right, thank you.
You take
Have a
care
good
now.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And another caller comes and offers an opinion or asks a question. Hi, caller. How can we help you?
Yes, good morning. I would like to ask a question as to what foods are good to eat to increase your cholesterol, your good cholesterol.
Okay. Very good caller. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana speaking, and thank you for your call. You want to increase what we call the HDL, or your healthy cholesterol. You need to decrease your saturated fats. We talked about the saturated fats. Those are the ones that come from animals. To increase your HDL, we want you to eat more omega-3 fatty acids. Those are the ones that come from fish. Okay? Also, you can get
flaxseed, is that also omega-3?
It has some, but the best thing is The best is the fish oil, and to also eat walnuts also has omega-3s, okay? Now, you can get the omega-3s also by eating fish or by supplements. It is more concentrated. Remember, you have to look at how much you're eating. If you want to raise your HDL and also lower triglycerides, which is a fat in your blood, you need to have at least 2,000 milligrams of EPA. That's one of the fatty acids that's very important. Okay?
Okay.
And
okay,
stick to
thank
those...
you very much.
All right, thank you, caller, for calling. We appreciate that.
What were you going to say, stick to what now?
What were you going to say, Jennifer?
And not only what it is that we're eating to help raise the HDL, but especially in this case, the HDL goes with diet and exercise.
Mm-hmm. And you want to hear one of the worst things that affects HDL?
What's that?
And remember, we want our HDL to be high. HDL picks up cholesterol from the lining of your arteries, takes it to your liver, and it gets dumped. Cigarette smoking is the worst thing.
And I wonder how many people realize that cigarette smoking is linked to cholesterol in their bodies. We think of food, maybe exercise. You don't think about that link, do you?
Cigarette smoking is very, very important. It lowers that good cholesterol. Cigarette smoking also promotes inflammation in your arteries. Remember, one of the reasons we do advanced lipid testing that we send to Cleveland Heart Lab is we want to see, do you have inflammation in your arteries and how much? When we had Dr. Maniscalco, remember he spoke about not only do we check the inflammation, but we can also make an assessment to see how is the treatment that you're getting to lower your cholesterol and to lower that inflammation. So, you know, these are really great questions. And I'm glad you brought that up. Cigarette smoking is definitely, let's put it this way, it is one of the hardest addictions for people to quit. But it is going to make such an impact on your health.
If there are more ways today, from what I've heard you talk about in the past, doctor, for your physician to help you medically quit the habit. There was one time when it was simply cold turkey and you didn't have much else to go by. If you need help quitting, the Triana Prevention Center is more than happy to help you.
Yes, we really do. And we, and you know, I told you we give out gold stars, right, Jennifer?
Yes. Yes, I actually printed some more this morning. So we're ready to hand them out.
Terrific. It really is. Let's take a quick second to remind you that you're listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. And I think we're about ready to play a game show here in just a minute. But before we do that, let me remind you that we'll stop whatever else is going on and take your phone calls, questions, comments, anything you would like to say at 941-206-1580 or 888-441-1580. There's also a website that you can visit, TrianaPreventionCenter.com, where you'll find all kinds of resources like all of these radio programs archived, and you can also subscribe to a newsletter. You can ask the doctor a question directly via email, so please visit that when you get a chance. There's also a link from our website, WCCFAM.com. And now back to the doctor.
Thank you. This is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. And, you know, the lady that called previously, I want to remind her there's good fats and bad fats. So the good fats are the MUFAs, the monounsaturated fatty acids.
Are and the good ones?
Yeah, and the PUFAs, polyunsaturated. Mm-hmm. So the trans fat are not good fats, and the saturated fats are the ones we're trying to eat less. What's an example of saturated fat that has saturated fats is butter and lard.
Mm-hmm. Crisco.
Crisco, right. And we know that even olive oil has just a little bit of saturated fat in its chemical makeup. Mm-hmm. But we have to understand that we're trying to go for more of the good fats.
Okay, the MUFAs and the PUFAs.
And we know that And we have a caller here.
Just hang on to that phone for 1 second, doctor. Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to ask Dr. Triana, every Saturday morning there's this stuff on for Dr. Pincus, and they're selling this high-volume vitamin C. Is that worth taking? Because it's extremely expensive.
Just so you know, she's referring to a program on Saturday mornings, and there is it's a national radio program, and they talk about a high vitamin C product that they offer.
Well, the thing is, your body can only take in so much vitamin C. If not, what happens to it, Jennifer?
We get rid of it.
We pee it out.
Yes.
And I know that's, we pass it in our urine. But in other words, I would not recommend that. I always feel the best way is to have a healthy diet. But that is a very good question, and I think that should lead us to a show that we should just talk about vitamins.
That would be wonderful, because I don't know what to take.
Okay, the best thing to do is to eat healthy. Get your vitamins, your minerals from your foods, and if you have to supplement, for example, we know the omega-3 supplements are beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Say, we'll put together a whole program in the future on that?
Yes, but certain vitamins, your body can only absorb so much. If not, you will eliminate it in your urine.
Thanks for the suggestion, caller.
And then there's also the blood work side of it. When you see your physician, we're going to check for certain levels like vitamin D deficiency, vitamin B deficiency.
So you might be able to get a more specific read by having your doctor discuss this with you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. We have another caller.
No, that's the same one, I'm afraid. Yeah. But we do have room for another caller if you would like to occupy one of the open lines at 206-1580 or 888-441-1580.
And we invite you to call, please, because we want you to be a part of our interactive game show.
Yes, this is really great. And, you know, it's really great to have all these callers. It shows that it makes us feel good because we know someone's listening and is interested enough to make a phone call.
I think oftentimes folks are listening and so interested in some of the things that they're hearing that they don't think about picking up the phone because they want to see what's going to be said next, or if they're thought in their mind is going to be covered as an issue, you can always suggest it at the phone numbers that we have given out, and we'll give them out again in a moment. So love to hear from you.
And we also recommend to tell your loved ones about this program. You know, this can definitely, the information in this program can save your life.
Not just that, but the archive of the programs that I mentioned on your website goes way back. And what triggered my thought on that is you were talking about the MUFAs and the PUFAs before, and there is a program, this program's now been on for over a year. There's a program from very early on, one of the first programs that you talked about nothing but the MUFAs and the PUFAs. And you can go and find that show to go back and review.
That's great. And we will talk more about it. Oh, Jennifer, let's do the game show.
Ask question one.
Maybe they want the first stab at our game.
Hi, caller, you're on the air.
Yes, I got a couple of questions and a couple of comments for Dr. Triana.
Let's go with
that. First one is, does she know what you call a doctor that's always on the telephone?
No, I do not.
He's an oncologist.
little humor to keep things lighthearted.
That's cute.
Good.
That's really cute, caller.
So, but I called last week on the cholesterol. I didn't want to take up too much of your time, but I'll give you a little history on me. I had a couple of events with a atrial fibrillation, about 6 trips to the hospital. I had one heart doctor that wanted to put a pacemaker in me, and I got a second opinion, and I went to Dr. Estrada that ablated me. I don't know if you know what an ablation
is. I do know what that is, yes.
I haven't had another event in almost 2 years.
Lucky you.
My question is, I'm concerned about, I went to one of the other doctors, heart doctors here, and I was at 225 when I was ablated. I'm down now to 190, and the only reason why I lost the weight is because they told me if I didn't lose the weight that the atrial fibrillation would come back. Do you have any information on that?
And thank you very much for your show, and I'll get off the phone, let somebody else call, and I'll listen for your comments.
Well, okay, what is your name, caller? You want to give us your first name?
I'm afraid he did just as he said he was going to do. He's going to listen.
Well, caller, yes, weight does make a difference. Think about it. Your heart's a pump. It's got to pump blood. If there's more tissue mass, it has to work harder. So when the heart has to work harder, it puts stress on the heart muscle. The people who have atrial fibrillation have electrical conduction system problems, and this also will put a stress on the heart. So we know that losing weight, staying within a healthy weight, puts less stress on your whole body. It isn't just your heart. Your joints, you know, a lot of patients, they have joint problems with their backs or their knees. So weight makes a difference. We also know that the more weight you gain, the more at risk you are of having diabetes that we have discussed. So it is very, very important. And I appreciate your call.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Dr. Triana, what category would you like?
Foods,
fats, or fun?
And then you have to choose a dollar amount or a point amount?
Just a point.
And what are the point amounts we choose from?
100 through 400.
Okay.
Maybe we should do Todd first.
Okay,
I'll do fun.
Okay.
For 100.
Very good. Okay. What counts as aerobic activity?
Okay. Aerobic activity counts as getting your heart rate up. And aerobic activity is important for your muscles to use up energy. And it's recommended that we do at least 150 minutes a week, right?
Right. When we tell you to do cardio, we're telling you to do aerobic activity. So when you're at home and you're researching what activities I need to be doing to fulfill my cardio requirements for heart health, aerobic is the word you're going to see. That's moderate activity for at least 10 minutes at a time. But yes, we need to be doing 150 minutes per week. So even if you do that at 10-minute increments because it's hard for you to exercise or that's all you can tolerate, well, then even if you're pushing your lawnmower, you're taking a dance class, you're bike riding, you're walking, well, then you are achieving your goal for your aerobic or cardio activity. When someone says they're doing moderate cardio workout on a scale of 1 to 10, you're doing about a 5 or a 6, meaning you're pushing yourself half or a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You should be able to talk, but you won't be able to sing song lyrics to a song. If you're doing vigorous activity, that's about a 7 or 8. You can only say a few words before you start to get short of breath. Mm-hmm. So those are just some ways to gauge how hard you're pushing yourself and how much you should be pushing yourself. Hmm. And of course, we always need to consult our physician before we start any exercise routine based on your history.
That's interesting. I had never heard anybody put it that way with regard to whether you can speak and how much you can speak and if you can sing or if you can't. Of course, some of us can't sing no matter what we do. That's
because
a different story.
You're on the treadmill and you're doing it for 30 minutes at a time. But you're not pushing yourself, well then yes, something is better than nothing. But if you're achieving the aerobic activity that was put forth for you from your doctor, well then you might need to step up the speed a little bit.
Gotcha.
Or mix up your exercise. Or again, it's simple things. Pushing your lawnmower is going to help you reach your 150-minute goal.
So some activity is better than no activity, but there's certainly a threshold of activity that you should discuss with your physician about achieving.
Right. And we also know one good way to also measure activity are the 10,000 steps.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Which is 5 miles.
Mm-hmm.
We should be taking 10,000 steps a day.
All right.
If that is completely impossible for you for whatever reason, you need to be doing at least 2,000 and then working your way up. If I do 2,000 today, I'm going to try for 4,000 tomorrow.
Okay.
But Heart Healthy says we need to be taking 10,000 steps a day, which equals 5 miles.
Which you could wear a pedometer and find out. They're relatively inexpensive and available just about
anywhere. You will actually be surprised at how little you're probably doing.
Mm-hmm.
So many times at the Triana Prevention Center, we say, are you doing any exercise? Well, no, my work is enough exercise.
Ah.
It's not enough exercise.
I see. Okay. Doesn't count. Well, it counts, but it doesn't get you all the way there.
Right. You're not doing as many steps as you probably think you are.
All right.
So probably the best way, if anybody really wants to know, is to measure and get a pedometer so that they can see how many steps.
So much of what we hear on this program is about eliminating guesswork and getting measurements in order to determine things, whether that's testing in the lab or making sure you're taking the right number of steps. It really is very important. Guesswork is a bit of an issue for people who think I'm just fine. I don't feel bad, so I must be fine. Big mistake.
Well, we hate to be the bearer of bad news.
I know we have some people going, I want to get checked out, and we do. Believe me, mm-hmm. We leave no stone unturned.
Right.
That was a good one.
Well, Todd, what can we do for you? Foods, fats, or fun?
Does anybody detect that somebody in the room has a slight advantage over the poor radio announcer who's pushing the buttons here?
We'll help you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with food, naturally.
Okay. What point would you like?
Fourth. What point did she just, how many points did she just get?
100. We're not trying to beat each other.
We're not trying to beat each other.
I'm a guy. That naturally competitive thing kicks in rather easily. Let's take food for 300.
Great. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Do you know your portion size as far as if we tell you to be eating chicken or we tell you to be eating, you know, you say I'm eating raw vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
This question is just to open up discussion about how much is a serving size in relation to an object so that when you're preparing your meals, if you don't have a measuring cup or, mm-hmm. you know, it's too mundane to, I'm not going to weigh my food, then it's just items to compare so you know you're getting the right amount.
I'm guessing the answer is not an entire pizza.
No. Good job. 100 points.
Actually, I don't know if this is correct, but I have always heard that a portion size should be about the size of your closed fist.
Yes. If we're talking about meat, poultry, or fish, that's 3 to 4 ounces. So when you're preparing your dinner, that's about the size of a deck of cards.
Okay.
Or a bar of soap.
All right.
So when you're making your steak and it takes up all of your plate...
That doesn't cut it.
Well, then you've left no room for your veggies, and you're also exceeding the portion size.
I see. Okay.
What about 1 cup of cereal, pasta, or raw vegetables?
Well, half a cup.
Right. Which is the size of a baseball.
A half a cup of those items is about
I wasn't supposed to answer.
We're here to help. Yes.
If we play this again, I'll make sure to have the buzzer ready so we can get her when she does stuff like that. But you're saying about the size of a baseball for those particular?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
What about if we say that you can have 2/3 cups of rice, a small potato, or a dinner roll? We want that to be the size of a tennis ball.
Okay.
So if, you know, you're out to dinner... Mm-hmm. And they serve you a potato. Well, then just mentally, you need to know I need to be eating about half of it or something that equals the size of a tennis ball. Because obviously, when we're at a restaurant and they serve you your meal, you're not going to be at home to be able to weigh and measure your foods.
Right. So do a little. This is where you can guesstimate a little bit.
Right.
Is that approximately the size of a tennis ball or is it a little bit larger?
Or a dinner roll. When you go to the restaurant and they serve the loaf of bread with the dish of butter and your cutting knife, that doesn't mean we eat the whole loaf of bread. That means we should be eating the size of a small dinner roll.
That is so tempting, though.
So if anybody wants to join in the game, please call 206-1580. We're just doing this to have some fun and, you know, get the conversation going.
Right.
That's a nice lighthearted way to get the facts and information out and have some fun with it as we go along. I like it.
Okay. Dr. Triana, what would you like next?
Why can't we? You pick one.
I would like fats for 100.
Okay, I'll ask you. Okay. Oh, what are triglycerides?
Well, triglycerides, which we talked about a little bit earlier, are fat in our blood. We're going to get it from the food that we're eating. I know that if we do not spend the amount of triglycerides that we take in through exercise, then that's going to start to build up in our blood system. Mm-hmm. We do not want high triglycerides in our blood. We can take action to lower our triglycerides, increasing exercise.
Right.
Decreasing our calorie count. I can take fish oil.
Right. You can increase your fiber.
Yes.
Which we did a show on fiber, because fiber will decrease the absorption of cholesterol from your diet and also help you also so you don't absorb so much sugar too.
Again, triglycerides, I'm not going to know if I have a high number unless I go see my physician.
Right.
And you also know your family history. It can be genetic. But again, you have to go see your physician, get your blood work checked routinely, take your medication as prescribed, increase your exercise, and stick to it. Just because my numbers come down doesn't mean for the next 8 weeks I can go back to what I was doing before to raise it. Eating the sugary foods, eating more pasta, because I might be avoiding cholesterol, but like you mentioned, if I'm increasing my sugar, that at the end of the day is turning into triglycerides as well.
And remember, alcohol also will raise your triglycerides. So I know St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and some people feel that that's a way to go ahead and start drinking. But I think we really need to be in moderation, because all that alcohol will raise your triglycerides. When triglycerides go so high, that fat that's milky in your blood, this predisposes you to a condition called pancreatitis.
And you don't want to go to the emergency room for an acute attack.
Pancreatitis is an inflammation of the pancreas. It is severely painful.
That's what I hear.
And causes vomiting. Oh, It's not, you're not going to be a happy camper. It is, can also, because of the vomiting, can cause electrolyte imbalances.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that alcohol will also raise triglycerides. So if you have a high triglyceride, please know you have to have moderation. You did a great job.
Which, that goes back to know your numbers.
Right. And at the Triana Prevention Center, we're giving out those Valentines to the patients, and they love it.
As we're into March now, still giving out the Valentines.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well,
because we're so passionate about the information you get from filling out your Valentine.
Share the love all year long.
That's right. You know, why should love be reserved for just one day?
I agree.
We need to have it every day. So let's do another one.
Yes. What category would you like, Dr. Triana?
I would like, how about foods for 100?
Very good. Okay, if you were going to eat a fast food burger, because let's face it, life is busy, you're here, you're there, you don't have time to go home and cook a meal, where should you get one from to be as healthy as possible? McDonald's, Burger King, or Wendy's?
Boy, I got it.
Bing, 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 bing.
I mean, I'm playing it just in my own head, even though this is the doctor's question. I got to try to figure this one out, too. I live in my car sometimes.
Well, I would think that maybe the best one would be the smaller size, which would be the small hamburger, which I have to be honest with you, I haven't eaten there in a long time, would be the little tiny hamburger.
Right.
And what I would do is if I was really, really had no other choice, I would take that and I would take off the bun and just eat the little patty of meat.
Mm.
And this question was introduced into the game show because you would think a burger is a burger.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter which place I get it from. Mm-hmm. But surprisingly, when you compare the food labels,
mm-hmm.
there are quite a difference in the fat, the carbs, and the sodium between each of these restaurants.
Okay.
So if you were going to get one, we need to be getting it from McDonald's.
Interesting.
The difference, the calories in one at McDonald's is 260,
mm-hmm.
up to 410 if you went to Wendy's.
Ah.
Well, that's for the simple hamburger.
That's just for the plain hamburger.
I was going to say, we're not talking the triple gut buster here or something like that. Oh,
no.
Boy.
One patty.
Uh-huh.
The sodium at McDonald's is 530 milligrams per this one patty.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to go to Wendy's, that's 910 milligrams.
And what's the daily allowance of sodium for an average healthy person?
Oh, you need to less than 2 grams a day of sodium.
Okay.
And it depends, too, if you have other medical conditions, it may be sure. you have to have even lower mm-hmm. the sodium. So
the Wendy's burger could literally consume almost half of your daily allowance.
Exactly.
Wow.
And going back to what Dr. Triana suggested of eating without the bun,
mm-hmm.
if we're talking carbs, McDonald's has 33 carbs. The Wendy's burger has 37 carbs. So if you're counting your carbs,
mm-hmm.
that's probably more than your carb allowance for the day.
And the numbers you're giving, Jennifer, are with the bun, even though the doctor said it might be a good idea to take the bun.
I would. But let me just say, again, you know, if you go somewhere and you order a salad and it has grilled chicken and you put a pack of blue cheese dressing, that's 210 calories and I don't know how many grams of fat.
Mm-hmm.
You better know what you're doing.
We always talk about you can turn a salad into 1,000 calories quickly.
Right.
Quickly, very
well, and
quickly.
The interesting thing is people will choose that as an option when maybe the hamburger is the better choice.
Right.
And that's why we're trying to hear. We don't, just like we started the show, if we as people will learn and what we're consuming, we don't have to have the government tell us everything. We're not a bunch of kids here. We're adults.
Interestingly, you're talking about the numbers, the calorie and the salt and the fat involved in the three major chain hamburgers. All of this information is available for you by law today, isn't it?
Exactly. It is on the website. It's in handouts. You can actually go to the restaurants, and I think they have
They have it up on the wall.
And now it's right next to the item that you're ordering.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you all of the information.
At least it tells you the calories and the more is available by law. So the excuse is only I'm too lazy or busy to look it up, but you should.
And, you know, if you're going to splurge once in a blue moon, that's a different story. It's that some people habitually will only eat at these type of places every day, every day, every day. I remember I had a patient. They went to a fast food place and their cholesterol was sky high, their triglycerides. They had literally breakfast and lunch every single day
mm-hmm.
at a fast food place.
That wasn't in that movie Supersize Me, was it?
No.
Do you remember that?
I remember that movie.
Same basic idea in the movie, by the way.
So, Jennifer, this has been really fun, and we haven't even gone through all the different points, and we've had such a great show today, everybody calling.
I wish we had time for a lightning round, but we are up against the clock now, so maybe we can play some more next week and kind of continue the fun.
Well, next week we'll do that. We have our guest. Special guest. And then we will continue. This is a wonderful game. And I want to thank you all for being here. And remember, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center. And we want you to stay healthy, right? For more good years.
We want more good years.